We begin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the joy that you put in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation, for your grace, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, and all the things that we need to maintain in this world. Lord, this world would shoot us down. It would grind us under its heel. But Lord, you have lifted us up. And you have given us brothers and sisters to lift us up as well. And we thank you, Lord, for the economy that you have, that you use people to touch other people, that we can be your body here on the earth, to give forth your word, and to give forth a smile. Thank you, Lord, for the provision that you have given us, that none of us are alone, even though sometimes we think we are. We think we're the only ones going through hard times. But, Lord, we know through your gracious word that you went through those hard times for us, and that we can always look to you. Father, help us to lift up our brothers and sisters in our hearts and practically as well, as you lead. I thank you, Lord, for the time that we're able to spend tonight in your word. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fill us all to overflowing, that we might absorb every nugget that you have here for us. And pray, Father, that the times that we spend in your word are fruitful, and that we apply them to our lives, because that's what it's there for. So, Lord, help us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 51. And I know you all did the homework, so I don't even have to ask. Right?
I wasn't here last week.
You weren't here last week, but you didn't listen to the message online. Oh my goodness! All right.
I was thinking
about just thinking about yourself. That's
sick
it.
And selfish. Sick and selfish.
Oh my gosh! In between the filling up the buckets and that kind of thing there. Well, the homework is to read the companion, or shall I say, the parallel. Verses that we read in 51 or 50, and we're going to continue tonight in 51, and that was Revelation 17 and 18, where and I believe it's so parallel. And if you I didn't want because this is such a long chapter, and you know I didn't want to be flipping back and forth. So if you read ahead and you got that already, then you'd be mindful of it. But we'll kind of bring it out as we go along. But it's amazing to me, and as I was looking at it, I was just saying, why are these things in here? They're almost identical. And he says, like we studied in Genesis, in the mouth of two witnesses, a thing's established. And the Lord is telling us here, and it's not just Babylon on the surface, that rough and tumble nation that came down and destroyed Jerusalem, although that's included, but it's also the far-reaching end of it. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar came to power, okay, he became a world power when Nebuchadnezzar, he defeated Egypt and Carchemish and he took over Assyria and all of these things, and he built this enormous empire. But he also inherited some things that really he couldn't do anything about. All of the gods that had come from Babel. Okay, Babel meaning confusion, and the Lord here is going to, as he speaks through Jeremiah, he's going to tell us about the confusion that happens when you start worshiping other gods, when you get off of the true and the living God to yourself, or to and it is yourself to be fair, but you transpose the worship to something else, whether it be greed or lust or whatever it is. You have determined that this is my God, this is who I'm going to serve, and it's my decision to do X, Y, and Z. And that's why people that are in the world get so offended at the gospel, because we tell people the cross, Jesus Christ, is the only way to God. And if you're going somewhere else, you're going to end up in this bad place called hell. You're going to be separated from God for all eternity. That rubs people the wrong way. Go figure. Okay? We're just trying to save them. We're trying to help them. But there's people that don't want to be saved. They just don't want it. And that's why we get persecuted and things of that nature. So if you're getting persecuted, you're probably doing the right thing. Okay? You're probably being a witness. You've told people about Jesus. And, the thing is that the what we present... we have to be careful on how we present it. the presentation is very important, because if we go with the attitude that we're thumping people over the over the head with the Bible, you know, saying, hey, if you don't repent, you're going to hell, as true as that is, it lacks love. Because truth without love is brutality. I mean, and, you know, love without truth is worthless. You know, it doesn't do you any good. So you have to have the combination of the both. You have to present it, man, I'm like Jeremiah, he was weeping. He was the weeping prophet because I don't want you to perish. I don't want to see my nation destroyed, but if you continue on, you're going to do both. You're going to be destroyed and my nation that I love is going to be destroyed. The temple where we worship the Lord is going to be destroyed. I don't want that to happen. And so this is the kind of an attitude that we have to have. And so, you know, as we had discussed before about doing something, until we have the right heart to do something, sit down and wait for the heart to arrive. Okay? Until you can weep for the people that you're, you know, that the Lord has put on your heart, sit down. God's not in a hurry. And he's going to, Lord, change my heart because I don't have the heart to do this. And you know you don't have the heart. How do you know you don't have the heart? When you get frustrated with people. When you start to preach the gospel to somebody or you're talking to somebody about it and they don't respond and you get frustrated. This is an earmark that you're not ready to talk to them about this. That means you need to get more closer to the Lord. Your heart needs to be changed so that when you speak the word, it comes across as love. And when they reject it, you do what Jesus did. And you, it's your decision. You have to allow them to make their own decision. He loved them, just like the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, did, you know, he walked away. You know, he couldn't take the salvation because he was a very rich man. Because the Lord told him, sell all you have and give to the poor. And that's, you know, where we part company now. And but Jesus loved him. You know, it says in there that he loved him. Why? He loved him because he wanted him to come into eternal life. That's where our hearts needs to be. And so Jeremiah, he's doing the same thing. But now he's on this track, and he says in verse 1, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon fanners and that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Now, the whole aspect of the fan, you know, kind of escapes our notice because the fan was used there to winnow wheat, okay? They would take the wheat and they would toss it in the air and they would have fanners if there was no wind and to blow away the chaff. And that's what he's talking about here. The fanners all blew all that chaff away, which was what the people in Babylon were. They were the unbelieving, the unsaved, and they were being blown away. The thing about it is that the Lord used these people, as vicious as they were, to destroy Israel. They were his servant. Nebuchadnezzar, you can't escape this. Nebuchadnezzar was the Lord's servant. And if you read Daniel, you'll see where Daniel, in love, shows. I mean, Daniel had a great respect for Nebuchadnezzar. You got to know this. You know, in chapter 4, you know, it was Daniel that probably took care of Nebuchadnezzar when he was in his state of animalness or whatever it was that he had to go through. And then when he came back to power, he knew that the Lord God Almighty reigned. How would he know that? Well, because Daniel was talking to him about it. And so as Babylon had inherited all of this confusion, all of this the spirituality is what it was. That was part of it. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to power, he had, remember that dream that he had? You know, the head of gold and the, you know. He was thinking on his bed before he went to sleep. He said, what's going to happen to my kingdom? This is a glorious empire that I've created. What's going to happen to it? And the Lord told him, you're the head of gold and after you there's going to be an inferior. And they were all inferior metals as they increased in atomic weight, though. Okay, until it got to Rome, which was iron, which is a very heavy metal, and they stomped it. And if you look and compare the different things like the Medes and the Persians that we're going to look at a little bit, you know, they were inferior, but they had a greater set of laws. Instead of one man being a dictator, they had laws that they had to keep. And then Alexander came in swiftly, taking care of all of these things, and then just as swiftly left the scene. And then there was Rome that came in and like a steamroller and rolled over everything. So Nebuchadnezzar is saying, okay, well, I had this dream, but I don't know what it means. And I'm not too sure about these guys here, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you, I've had a dream. I want you to tell me my dream, and then I want you to tell me what it means. And they said, we can't do that. No man on earth can do that, you know. He said, okay, I'll give you my executive incentive program. I'm going to tear you limb from limb, and I'm going to make your houses a dunghill if you don't give me the answer that I'm looking for. And so he was nobody to be trifled with. But Daniel went into a prayer meeting with his buddies and says, okay, we got to do this. And so he goes to and you know, he stands before him and says, thou, O king, thou art a king of kings. You know, and you can feel the heart that Daniel had for Nebuchadnezzar. It was just like they really clicked. Okay, and I believe it was the relationship that Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar had that stayed his hand for the longest time from destroying Jerusalem. Because if you look at his sieges, he went three sieges and he left them standing. Nebuchadnezzar didn't play. He came in, he took over, he wiped them out, every single one of them, except for Israel. He let Israel slide three times until he had a belly full and said, okay, that's it, you're done. Okay. And he comes in and he tells Jeremiah, you know, he gives his second in command, says, hey, take care of Jeremiah. If he wants to come with us, we'll set him up good. If not, give him the provisions that he needs to live here. But make sure that he's well taken care of. Why do you think he did that? How did he figure that out? It was because all of his letters were going to Babylon being read by Daniel. Daniel was his right-hand man. He was the second in command up there, okay, in Babylon. And so he's saying, hey, this is what Jeremiah is doing there. I can almost see it. They're sitting down there reading all of these things. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Man, that must have blown him away. What's you know? And so, in the meantime, Ezekiel was also prophesying in Babylon. So, you know, there's the double whammy going on there. They're working on him from all sides.
I didn't realize this is all happening roughly the same
time. At the same time, yeah.
That's pretty amazing how that worked all that out.
Right. If you go through, you can see, I think, I'm not sure exactly which ones were, but there were some of the other prophets were prophesying at the same time as well. Okay. So it's kind of interesting just how, you know, the Lord has his people all over the place. You know, I mean, it's not, we look at it and say, oh, he's all by himself. You know, we see Elijah. Remember Elijah? You know, I'm all alone. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to take my life away. No. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. So get up off yourself, you know? I mean, you're not all that, okay? And so we read, you know, a lot of these things, and we can't place it in a timeline. So it would always be a good thing when you start a new book, especially in the prophets, find out when and who else they were prophesying in the same vein with. And you're going to see a lot of similarities. You know, those that were 8th century prophets, they prophesied, turn away from your idols, repent, for the Lord's going to come and wipe you out. But you get to the later prophets, you know, and you see a different tone. You're seeing more of a future tone of that kind of a thing. So so he's talking of Babylon. You know, it's interesting, too, the combination that he puts down. And I will send unto the confused fanners that shall fan her. Okay? So all of the people that are being confused by all of these gods that they have there about what's right and what's not right, hey, they're all, you know, they're going to be blown away. And so keep track, too, of the meanings of the names and piecing those together like that. So in verse 3, he says, against him that bendeth the archer, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, which is chain mail or something like that, something that you would wear, like the knights of old, you know, that chain mail that they would wear, that wasn't just invented by them. It was all around a long time ago. But there, you know, when you're in that, you feel invincible, okay? I've got my arrows and my archers. I can take anybody on, you know. And the same thing here, you know. And you get lifted up, especially if you accomplish something. I've, you know, vanquished some enemies. Goliath had that same issue. oh, man, I've been a man of war all my life, and this little kid's going to come after me? Ah, man, you better watch out. I always think about the Lord chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. So, okay, so he lifteth himself up with his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men. Destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that thrust through in her streets. So Chaldeans, Babylons, they're basically talking about the same thing. The Babylon is the city-state. The land of Chaldea is the whole realm round about. So, for Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. So the Lord's telling him, hey, you know what? They've done these things, and yet I'm still their God. Man, that's a comforting thought to me. You know, even though they're filled with sin. How many of us sometimes feel filled with sin? There's no holiness about us. You know, it's just like, I'm just flotsam. I'm worthless. How can the Lord even think about using me? You know, but here it is. He said, I haven't given up on you. You know, don't let the enemy kick you around. Don't be under the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. There is therefore now no condemnation. So when you start to get down on yourself, don't do the devil's work. Don't do the, and don't take his opinion as your own. Because the Lord sees you as glorified, folks. And he won't settle for anything less than that. You know, people commit suicide because they think that they're worthless. Okay? If you keep going on that vein, you will follow in the same footsteps. Okay? Robin Williams, on top of the world. You know, everybody loved him. And yet he felt so alone. He felt like nobody wanted him around. How can that be? Because in your mind, you start to think these thoughts. And they may come out of nowhere. You may not even know, you know, but something will happen and it will start to lead you down that path. And if you don't, if you're not in your word and you're not in fellowship with other believers, you will start to think those thoughts and those thoughts will become you. And then you're just going to say, I might as well just end it all. I might as well just, you know, do whatever. So guard your heart, guard your mind. And guard it with the word of God. And anything that pops into that pudding head of yours that's contrary to the word of God, you've got to say, this is not of God. It's got to go. I cannot entertain these thoughts. And we do. That's how we get in trouble, because we entertain those thoughts and then we start to go with it, especially if we're feeling a little melancholy. Get a little melancholy, feeling a little sick or something like that. Oh, man, what happens? Oh, man, nobody loves me. You know, and that's what our conversation before in the beginning, you know, that we need to be mindful. Hey, so-and-so was sick. Let's, you know, let's cheer them up. You know, let's go over to their house and no. You know, you just send them a text, you know, give them a phone call or something like that. You know, whatever it is, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do. But first and foremost, pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Not so much for healing, but that the enemy can keep its distance. Because when you're sick, you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. When you've got some kind of a medical issue and you're, you know, you're going through something, man, the enemy's going to come in. Oh, Lord, if the Lord loved you, wouldn't he heal you? Mm-hmm. Isn't the Lord powerful enough to heal you? Mm-hmm. You know?
You're also vulnerable when your kids are going through something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When your kids are going through something, your heart just breaks and you're just like, God, why? Why are my kids going through this? Mm-hmm. There are many a moms that have shared that with me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What did I do?
Oh, yes. Here's another question. Yeah. Whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. parents, moms, their kids are on drugs or they're mm-hmm. in trouble with the law and you're just like, why? What?
Where did you go wrong?
Yeah, and that the enemy will definitely mm-hmm. any little thing. The yep. enemy mm-hmm. And I think that for all parents, yep. that's really a spot that he can.
Yeah, yeah. He can be beat to death with that.
Yep. Right, but with great compassion, you have to have a great guard. You have to guard yourself mm-hmm. because that's going to be a vulnerable point. It may be your strong suit, but guess what? You're going to fall in that strong suit. You know. people that have great compassion, they get, you know, they get hurt. You know, why am I doing this? Why do I keep, I don't see any results in this, you know. Well, you're not supposed to see results. Get over yourself. You're my servant. I asked you to do this. Okay, do it. Okay, if nobody responds, it's not your problem. You've done what I've asked you to do. Many times in the scriptures it talks about, you know, if you, if the Lord puts something on your heart and you don't tell your brother and they perish, his blood is on your hand, on your head, on your hands, if you will, okay? You're responsible. But if you tell them what I've told you to say, then I've relieved you of it and his blood is on his own head, okay? That went in with if somebody is worshiping other gods. And you don't say anything about it. Well, if you say something about it and they reject you, cool. Okay? Not your responsibility. It's their responsibility now because it's on their heads. But you've told them. You know? I told you that the Word of God says that you ought not do this. Okay? Don't do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And then, okay, now you've alleviated yourself. Okay? The blood's on their heads now. Okay, they're on their own heads. It's their own responsibility. But now, because you've been obedient to the Lord has not put that blood on you. Okay, so past experiences were yesterday. Okay, His mercies are new every morning. We can start out every moment of every day brand spanking new. We may have fallen into a great sin, but the Lord is right there to say, okay, well, you've repented from that sin. Okay, we're moving on. You're brand new as of this moment. Okay? And you can start anew again. So, the Lord has many, many lessons for us. And many, many, many times we're going to fail. Or we're going to feel like we failed. Okay? We cannot go on past successes or failures. We need to keep moving forward. The past is behind us. Nothing we can do about it. You know, things that happened yesterday or last hour, nothing we can do about it. The only thing we have control over is how we respond to the next thing that comes, and the next thing, and the next thing. So, and that's how we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in verse 6, we got all the way down to verse 6. Oh, guys, man, we're moving right along. So Israel, those that are governed by God, have not been forsaken, nor praise of his God. Okay, remember Judah means praise. So look at that. Those that are governed by God do what? They praise the Lord. Praise is a hallmark of a believer in Jesus Christ. Look at your life. Are you praising God in all things? Are you standing on the Word of God? Romans 8:28. Okay? All things work together for good to those that love God. Right? Okay? So, when things come our way, are we giving thanks? Are we giving praise? You know? I can't wait to see what you're going to do with the situation, okay? No, I would rather not be here, but you got me here, and so, all right, they're putting the squeeze on me. What's coming out? Cursing or blessings? Can a well give forth sweet water as well as bitter water at the same time? No. So it's how the Lord gives us that barometer to show us where we are. You want to know where your heart is? Look at your situation. What am I doing in this situation? Doing in that respect of actually doing something, but how am I reacting? How am I accepting or rejecting this that the Lord has put me in? Like Joseph. Joseph was put into prison. Did he want to be there? No. But he was obedient and did the best he could, and he earned favor with everybody in the prison. He was so comfortable with everybody in the prison that those guys that were higher up in Pharaoh's court, when they came down, they weren't afraid to talk to him. They were comfortable talking to this guy. He didn't talk down to them. He didn't talk above them. He treated them with love and respect. Man, you know, some people will use it. They'll just abuse it to no end. Okay. No loss. No fault. No foul. I want to be loving. I want to be giving. And if somebody takes advantage of it, okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? You know, when you have something that's free and available, you use it. Okay? I mean, it's, you know, somebody gives you a loaf of bread. You're going to set that on the table and build a monument to this person that gave me the bread and then starve to death because you didn't eat the bread. You know, that's crude, perhaps. But it's the same thing. The Lord has given you grace and you've asked the Lord, oh, Lord, give me your heart. Has anybody ever asked that? Anybody here ever asked that you get the Lord's heart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And what happens when he gives it to you? Well, they're taking advantage of me, Lord. I didn't expect that.
I don't know that. I even have that bar, so. I'm still asking.
They could at least have said thank you. I mean, come on. Be careful what you ask for. I mean, prayerfully consider what you're asking for, because when the Lord gives it to you, you may not even recognize when you get it. You just kind of, oh, okay, yeah, this is from the Lord. But it's when somebody takes advantage of that you really know it's from the Lord. It's not something that I've manufactured. I'm going to be the best person I can be today. I'm going to be the best, you know, and you can repeat that over and over again. You can put a big smile on your face, and you can go out, and it's the first person that you try to get that up. Okay, no more smile. I ain't doing that again. Have you ever said that? I'm not doing that again. You see, that's manufactured. And the Lord brings it to our forefront that, hey, man, I'm manufacturing this. I want to live by the Spirit. And if the Spirit has gotten me doing this, I'm not going to be offended. Because he wasn't offended. All people were offended by him, but he was offended by no one. Because he knew what was in man. He didn't join himself with him because he knew what was in him. Okay? So he was not offended. He knew that he was going to go through all of these things. And you know you're going to go through all of those things. And if you didn't before, you do now. When you go through, as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, you're going to start going through these things. Well, you probably are going through. I'm preaching to the choir, I know. But, you know, sometimes it's good to hear that, oh, man, why are all these people coming against me? It's just because you're a believer. And they're not. But on the other hand, I just want to throw this out here as a caveat. Just because a believer, brother or sister, treats you badly, don't be on the judgmental side of, well, they must not be a Christian. Okay? Because they may be just having a bad day. Mm-hmm. Now, I know none of you have ever had bad days. And you've never spoken unkind things to anybody for whatever reason. On the phone or otherwise. No, no. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. It's right there.
You
got the hold button there. For Israel, those that are governed by God, hath not been forsaken. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Nor Judah of his God. There is no praise, there is no forsaking of the praise of God. The Lord, that's the YHVH, just in case you were the Yahweh, or WH, however you wanted to put that in there. His name. Though the land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. I think we kind of beat that to death, that we have sin in us and, you know, that kind of thing. So, flee out of the midst of confusion. Flee out of the midst. Come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of his sins. Of their sins, as the Lord speaks in the book of the Revelation. Come out of her, my people. And that's what he's calling to us. He says to the church at Thyatira, come out of her. Don't be a partaker. You know the word, live the word, in other words. Okay, you know the right thing to do, you know the wrong thing to do. Don't do that which is wrong. What the Lord has forbidden, let it be forbidden in your mind. That which he has allowed, let it be allowed. When you stand before the Lord, man, you don't want to hear, well, you know what? You did this and this and this and this. It was in my word. I showed you my word and you did that. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because if you start to pick and choose what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe, you're in confusion, folks. You're in confusion. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 talks about, you know, he that would, you know, disregard, I don't know, this is the TJV, that disregards even the least of these my commandments and teaches others so, he shall have the lowest place in the kingdom of heaven. But he that, you know, yeah, exactly, gives you shivers, you know. Is there something in the word that I'm neglecting, that I'm not, you know, I want to know. You see, this is worthy of study, to get in there and find out for yourself, because you are going to answer to the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, yeah, I did these things, but everybody else was doing it. Yeah.
What about the thought, not to play the advocate, but what about the thought, well, the lowest is better than nothing?
The what?
The lowest is better than nothing.
I can't even.
I'm not saying I could get. I'm just saying.
If I had a bucket and could vomit into it, that would be my reaction to that kind of thought. Mm-hmm. You want the lowest. You're striving for the lowest, really? I mean, not as devil's advocate, right. You know. We strive to be like Christ.
I think anybody who thinks that way is probably coming from a corrupt heart.
Exactly.
I don't think they're even going to make it. Because they already contemplate, oh, well, at least I'm going to go.
Right, it's good enough.
Yeah. It's good enough. Yeah. And that's not the heart of somebody, I believe.
Right. Exactly right.
To heaven.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've already...
A believer's heart would be, I want to look into the eyes of my Savior. Amen. In a positive manner. Amen. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to, you know, hey, you could have had... Not for a matter of, you know, the idea of we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, forever and ever, but... You know, is that really the heart of the matter? You know?
I think in God's economy, we're all going to be at that level, no matter if you're, you know, whoever, you know, or I think we're all going to be at that lower level because God's way up here.
Right.
But our intent, our heart is to be as close to that level where he's at as possible.
But see, as we study the word, though, we realize that there are going to be hierarchies. There are going to be people that rule over 10 cities that are going to rule over, and this is the teaching of the Lord. The Lord teaches this, and he wouldn't even say if there were some kind of, a class distinction, if you will, those that walked by faith, you know, they're the ones that are going to enjoy the things because they were looking forward to the Lord coming back. Those that were, you know, like you were saying, that were just kind of squeaked by, they weren't looking for the Lord to come back. You know, and you got to say, are these the folks that are going to miss the rapture?
Mm. Well, and then the scripture about being lukewarm and spitting the lukewarm out, that would answer that right there.
Mm. It's like being on the fence. I mean, you want to enjoy the world, but you want heaven, you know. Right. I want to be just as much in the world where I can enjoy it and do all this.
Yeah.
But I still want the Lord because I want to be in heaven. But do they really want to be in heaven?
I want all of this and heaven too.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Really? Can you do that?
So they're not seeking the Lord. They just want to go to heaven.
Well, they're trying to cover base.
Just enough to ease their conscience. Right.
I believe in Jesus. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to go to hell. I think that's
what
It's not I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. It's I don't want to go to hell.
Right. I know there's God, and I don't want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I know there's a hell, and I don't want to be there. So I'm going to do the bare minimum to get myself in there.
Right.
But you can't. That's the thing. You can't.
You won't want to.
It's an earmark of where your heart is. You see? Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. Hey, if you take the commandments of the Lord and you obey them and you teach others to obey them, then you're going to be exalted in heaven. You're going to be welcomed with open arms. But if you teach people, now what type of people would know the word and disregard the word in their own life and teach others to disregard the word? Would that be somebody that's a follower of Christ, or would that be a false teacher? Saying, you don't need to, the Old Testament, that's old. Don't worry about any of that stuff. You stay in the New Testament. I got news for you. The Old Testament was way easier to keep than this, the New Testament. If anybody's ever read the New Testament, you know, you read Matthew 5, and he doesn't get too far before he says that. Verse 18 is where he starts that. You know, so it's got to be, he must be serious about that. Serious enough to go to the cross, let me tell you. That's how serious he was. Serious enough to hear, to desire to do the Father's will. Getting up early in the morning... Getting out by himself so that he could pray, so that he could have fellowship with the Father to get the day's orders. You know, what are we doing today? Okay, what do you got going for? What is it that you want me to do? I'm ready. Let's go. That was Jesus.
And that's sort of what I was saying, getting back to starting the night off, was about what the Lord had pressed upon me a month and a half ago or whatever, about, you know, why did I go to the cross?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not even attempting to get up a little bit early so I can get into the Word or pray or something, or if I'm just coming home from work and vegging out in front of the TV, why did I go to the cross? So that you could sleep in a little bit more? so you could veg out when you get home from work. You know, why do they go to the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. And that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. About getting up and taking the time to...
It's important enough that we should want to.
We should want to do that.
That's it. There you go. That's the essence of it. We should want to. Now, if you don't want to, that's something you would definitely want to go before the Lord and pray about. Why don't I feel this way? Don't start a regimen. Don't start a tradition.
Right.
Because you'll fall flat on your face, first of all. You know, the Lord says, don't make a vow. But if you make a vow, then keep the vow. And if you vow to the Lord, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every... Well, for your sake, it would be 3 o'clock in the morning. You already get up at 5. 5 o'clock, you're already on the way to work. So, but, you know, I'm going to get up an hour a day. Now, I did this myself. I said, okay, I regimented myself. I'm going to get up. I don't think I made a vow to do it, but this was just my daily habit. I wanted to get up an hour early, and I wanted to pray. I wanted to read my Bible before I launched into the day. Well... You know what? After a while, it was great. You know, I got through, you know, the first 19 verses of Matthew, and then I found myself getting up and falling asleep on the floor. Okay? Well, that didn't do me much good. All right? So those kind of regimens and things like that, unless the Lord spurs you to do it, don't try to traditionalize yourself. You know, the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord doesn't want... He wants the spontaneity.
Right.
That's really one. Yeah.
That ties into what I was talking to you about, like a couple, maybe a month ago, when I was just kind of going through the motion, just checking it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the week before, the Lord told me to get up at 5 and spend time with Him. But see, in my silly little mind, I thought He meant from now on, you know. So it became a regiment. And I had to go through some things to really see. Now I get up whatever time He wants me to get up, but it's simply because I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, it's just like my wife. I love her. I want to spend time with her. You know, it's just, it looks the same, but it's totally different.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's what the whole deal with that Paul says, like Christ and His church. You know, the Lord wants to spend time with us, but are we too busy?
Mm-hmm.
Are we too busy about and that's what I was trying to get at before when we were you were talking about you want to do something. You want to, you know, be more than just, you know, sitting around and doing whatever. And that's great. Spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's
find out what that other thing
let
might
me do.
Be.
And that may be the thing.
Yeah.
You see,
exactly.
You might
exactly.
be you might be looking far exactly. beyond. Wait a minute, no, it's right here. This is.
you're
looking over there. It's not over there.
You
it's
have
right
to
here.
See, get through Him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's got
to
be.
So what you're saying is like, if we seek Him and He says, "Yeah, reach out to Jose," then do it. But
yeah.
Right. But
don't
you,
just me. I'm gonna be a man and reach out to Jose. That's not. That
but it's gonna be a natural thing,
right?
Okay. Well, supernatural, really. But it's gonna be. You know the heart of God so that when He directs you to do something, it's gonna be just as natural as you won't even have to think about it. It'll be okay. Just like that's what Jesus did. The Father told Him to do something, and He did that.
Just like what you just said, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Because you said, I'll get up when the Lord wants me to get up. It's just like if the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night, or wakes you up in the morning.
Yeah.
That's not a regimen. That's not, you're making a tradition of it. So a good prayer might be, Lord, you wake me up when you want to wake me up. And I bet you He's going to get us up early in the morning. You know what?
One of us is going to sleep tonight.
And we have. And that may be a good thing.
That's really cool. Because then it may have, the word natural came to us. So you're naturally waking up. That could possibly, that could be or can be the Lord waking you up. At the time that He wants you to get, so if He got you up 15 minutes early, it's because He wanted you to spend 15 minutes with Him. If He got you up 2 hours early, it's because He wanted you to spend 2 hours with Him.
Maybe
before going to work.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, don't, you know, just because you know, like the other night, I got up at, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was 4 o'clock on the dot. Hmm. But I'm used to getting up at night. But this was different because I was awake.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was just like. I'm awake, like I'm sitting in a chair awake, and I'm just kind of like, and so I started to think about that, you know, and I'm thinking, so, you know, maybe I should pray, you know, maybe the Lord has somebody, you know, or what have you know, maybe get up and read, you know, maybe the Lord's got a passage for me that He wants me to read or what have you. But maybe it's just that He wants to spend some time with me, you know, hey, you're heading for a fall. You know, you're not strong enough. You need the Spirit. I want you to ask for the Spirit, you know, to be upon you, you know. We miss those opportunities because we, I got to get up at 6. You know, the alarm's going to go off and I'm not going to be ready and I'm going to be irritable and all the excuses in the world, except that the Lord is the one that gives us the strength. And He's the one that gives us the wherewithal to wake up groggy or whatever. And if we do wake up groggy, we can still praise Him in that. You know, I spent time with the Lord last night. Wow! This is great. It was worth every second that I was awake and wasn't sleeping, you see? I mean, He doesn't do it all the time, you know, but that one time I remember, I was telling you about that. It was just like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I am just like trying to close the eyes. And, you know, you know what I'm talking about. This happened to you before. And, was it a missed opportunity? Probably. I probably, if I'd have thought about it more, you know, rather than thinking I should be asleep right now, you know, I mean, Lord, I can't think of anything better than to have, you know, a solid night's sleep for once.
But that's what it is you struggle with that. That's your first thing, is your thought is like,
my plans.
I need to go to sleep. I mean, I got to get up in 2 hours or an hour.
My plans.
Right. Right. And then, but that happens to me a lot. So then I will take the opportunity to pray, or I fight back and forth of trying to go to sleep, pray a little bit, try to go to sleep, pray a little bit, you know, so.
Sure, yeah. Nothing will put you to sleep faster than praying. And I don't mean that, you know, I don't really mean that as in a funny way.
No,
but let me tell you what, you know, when...
Prayer, read the word, and you'll read the
exactly hour. Right, you know.
But I think sometimes it's just resting in Him and just being with Him. You don't have to talk.
Right.
You know, it just, you know, you just are there in His presence.
Right.
You know, and you find comfort, and that is relaxing.
And hopefully what we come away with this is the next time that happens, we look forward with anticipation, spending time with the Lord. You got me up. Okay, let's spend some time together. I want to be in Your presence, you see? And that's when the heart starts to change. And that's when it starts to become real, okay? Maybe the Lord wakes us up just to show us that maybe our heart's not real. It's not as willing as we think it is, you know. We have been, you know, playing a game to a degree, lesser degree than, I'm not saying that we're not born again, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that there is a much more, you know, Paul says that like, I think 7 times, the much more of Christ, you know, where we get much more of the Spirit, more drawn to Him, being more in tune with His desires. And our desires just kind of float off to the side, and they're not important anymore.
That's what I'm saying about what He's been impressed upon me. That's exactly it.
Okay.
You know, I am more than
much more.
You coming home and just sitting on the couch and watching TV.
Then
you know,
go before the Lord. Make it a plan. When you get out of your car, or when you pull into the driveway, just sit there. Lord, order the rest of my day. Order the next hour. You know,
yeah,
order
absolutely.
You know, whatever it is. Organize my thoughts to be Your thoughts. You see? And it starts small, and then the Lord will build from there because, hey, now You're willing. Hey, You're willing. That's cool. I can work with that. You know, there are a lot of people out there that just like, man, dig their heels in. I ain't doing that, man. No, I want to watch my shows, man. I got Netflix. I got Amazon Prime. You know, I got all these shows. I got to catch up on. And sped ready.
Who does that?
Who does that? I know. What
right.
Christian
That's
would
what I'm
do
saying.
Such a
thing? Jesus is telling me, I would cross for more than Netflix. You know?
Now, that shoe may pinch a little bit, but, you know.
No, that's absolutely true.
I'm guilty. You know, we have our shows that are taped, and, you know, we have our regimented when we're going to watch and that kind of a thing and stuff like that. And my stories.
We still tape them. No, we don't.
Well,
we just call it
it's
that.
It's just my generation used to call it that, okay?
So you do tape them, or you
no,
who
no.
remembers
heard,
Reel to Reel? Anybody
I
remember?
Brooke Jada,
you don't even know what that is, do you?
Tape.
Reel to Reel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I still say tape, though. I can't get
it. Yeah, it's recording. Yeah, we're in the 21st century.
I often wonder, like, who was behind that?
Oh, yeah?
Spiritually, who was behind
that? Yeah, the streaming.
Yes,
and,
who was behind
binging?
That?
Did we not talk about distractions on Sunday?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's got this country and whoever else is watching Netflix.
Oh yeah, I hear it all the time. These guys, they're dragging in man, I just binged watch a season of X, Y, and Z, Walking Dead or something like that, you know, and they're, yeah, you look like the Walking Dead, you know, it's what you've been looking like, I mean, they're,
And it's crazy because
the show is starting to rub off on you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
It's crazy because when you binge watch after a while, especially if you had a long vacation week and you really, I was a Gilmore Girl. I thought I was a Gilmore Girl.
I'm not sure what that means. But
I'm looking up the town. Oh, there's a town like that. No, it really just, I really do think that there is some kind of a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have
to.
Yes.
But
it's addicting,
if not. It is. It's just like our phones, you know. I mean, you know, electronics. It's like we live in cyberspace. You know, it's like we're not enjoying life anymore. Even, you know, you go to, like, we went to a Christmas program that our kids were in, you know, or grandkids were in, you know, and every person in there was looking at it through their iPad, taping it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I thought, you're not even looking at real life.
You're not.
You're not looking at it. You know, you're seeing it through that. And all the kids see are this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we thought of that part of it. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, you know.
Videotaping it? Yeah, on your iPad.
Yeah. Videotaping.
Yeah.
He does it too. So
in back of us, me, then you can't see. Then you're like this.
Then you have to watch it through their eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Trying to watch it through their eyes.
But it's, you know, we gotta, you know, let's talk to each other. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I've also noticed that too. Just hanging out with friends. Like, I've been hanging out with a lot of my buddies, and we're all at the table. And I was just sitting there one time, and didn't even had no one text me, no nothing. I was sitting there, and I just looked around. Everybody was on their phones. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'll get on my... But everybody's on... And then the waiter came, and he was like, oh, well, you know, you guys want anything to drink? And I was like, yeah, can I have a water? And everybody didn't say anything. I was like, guys, you guys want anything to drink? oh, lemonade or something like that. Yeah. You know, but that's what...
They were preoccupied.
Everybody just gets their phones up.
Mm-hmm. We went to Texas Roadhouse one Sunday after church. I think there was about six of us. You know, it was our family. And... we sat down. I said, first one that gets their phones out has to pay the bill. They all went back in their pockets.
Anybody want water?
No,
thanks.
Yeah, chapter, verse 6.
This is very good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
The relationship takes effort.
Yeah.
It takes an effort to work this relationship. It mm-hmm. takes an effort to work this relationship or this relationship. So, of course, it's going to take effort to work this relationship.
Oh,
most
yeah.
important.
Right.
So if we don't have time to work on this one, then really all the other ones aren't going to work
right.
that well anyway.
Right. Absolutely.
Anybody want water again?
No.
Not good.
Good.
Thank
you.
It's like
she said this
Chuck,
one doesn't
Chuck
take
Smith.
Any work.
Put it.
Chuck
Chuck's
not
put it. The relationship with each other is like this.
Right?
You know,
exactly.
When this gets off,
exactly.
everything else is going to get off kilter as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's going to wake you up, or the snoring's going to wake you up.
Just remember this one first. This one will be okay.
We'll get through it, honey.
Okay, so we were at verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Now, the Lord's vengeance doesn't happen until he comes back, you see. So you see how it's transcending, and yet it's just as applicable to the time that Jeremiah is talking, and then a little bit after. But then it ends at the very end, because Jesus, when he came, he you know, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to, you know, to well, you remember Isaiah 9, or anyway, you can look it up. But he stopped at that comma before he said, "In the day of vengeance of our God." This is the time he's talking about. When he comes back, he's going to have vengeance. And it's going to be not just the physical, because there's going to be a multiplicity of things, as you saw in Revelation 18, where there were three groups of people that mourned, that stood afar off from the torment. But it was, you know, in the list of things at the very end, it was, and the souls of men. Most important, it was the souls of men. That this whole system, it was not only physical, but it was religious, and it was spiritual. And all of these things all rolled into one, and the Lord is going to deal with that at that time. And so it says, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hands, and made all the earth drunken, and the nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. So, and that's what happens when you're confused. You just go mad because you don't know what truth is, and you wouldn't know truth if it hit you in the head with a like a 2x4. And so, and that may be a crude way of saying it, but that's exactly it. You fill your mind with all of these things. Now think about it. I mean, you're talking about binge watching a show, okay? You've sat for however many, you know, how many shows are in a season.
Sometimes
20. Let's just say 20, 1 hour long. That's 20 hours that you've ingested all of this stuff from people you don't even know that created this. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they're creating a world for you, and you've sucked all of these things up. Guys, these people that play video games, you know? I mean, it's insane. They will binge hours to be online with their friends, you know, shooting them up. Is there any wonder that there's, you know, target practice at school? I mean, I hate to put it in that respect, but that's exactly what it is. Yeah. They've been conditioned to do this. This is their entertainment.
Excuse me. A kid told me that he was playing video games for a long time, like 20 hours or so. I don't know. Not you. A kid. I'm telling you, not him. He played so long that when he was done, actually walking around was weird. Mm-hmm. That he was like, it was kind of just weird. Like, it just everything looked kind of weird. So it really does, like, get it.
It affects your brain. Well, you've been sitting like a couch potato for so long. It happens when you're watching TV as well. So, but you're there, and you're there to absorb everything that comes in, every little nook and cranny, you know. And video games are even worse because there's these other things that you have to always be watching for, you see. And so they come away with the same kind of PTSD as, you know, people that actually have been in combat, you know, come back in. Oh, yeah, you know, it's – you know, be careful what you ingest. You know, you're spending 20 hours a day, you know, binge watching Netflix, and you spent 15 minutes in the Word. Guess what's going to be, you know. So do what you need to do. But as we saw in Revelation, that, you know, that the cup, give to her, you know, all of these, the wine of God's wrath is wrung out in this cup, and okay, go ahead and give it to her. And so suddenly, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so she may be healed. Babylon the Great is fallen, as the book of the Revelation says. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let her go, every one, into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the sky. So even this system of deception of God's people and the murder of God's people, he gives her space to repent. That's the gracious and lovingness of our God, that even though all of those things have happened and they did all of these things, he still gives them space to repent. He sends them the word to turn away from these things. Of course she doesn't, but that's her choice, you know. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Folks, if you don't know the Word of God, you can't give out the Word of God. Pure and simple. I mean, that's just the fact of it. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. How do we know this? For the Bible tells us so. Okay? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Did somebody tell you that, or did you read it for yourself? It's good that somebody can tell you, because faith always comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but there's another aspect to it. Faith comes by hearing because you hear the still small voice of the Lord as you are reading His Word. And that's more important, because when somebody gives you the Word, it's the Spirit of God that makes it click. As the same way as when you're reading the Word. You read the Word, the Holy Spirit makes it click. That's right. This is truth. Okay? And if you're not ingesting the Word of God, if you're not studying it, you've got nothing to give anybody. So the Lord brought forth our righteousness. Whose righteousness? Is it our, did we earn this righteousness? Or is it the righteousness that was given to us? The wedding garment that was given to us, it's the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way. Remember the parable of the guy that came in and didn't have on a wedding garment?
Mm-hmm.
He was called in, mm-hmm. and the wedding garments were available, but he didn't have one. Mm-hmm. He didn't take one for himself. Our righteousness comes from Christ and Christ alone. We have to be clothed in His righteousness and declare the work in Zion. Now, you know, we look at this and we think, oh, well, yeah, those are nice little cute Jewish phrases. But Zion is the place where the Lord put His name. This is the place where His eye never leaves. Believe it or not. Zion is His high place. Jerusalem is lower in plain than Zion. Zion is one of the highest peak in that area. It's built on seven hills, but Zion is the highest peak. You know what the second highest peak is? Calvary. Golgotha. That's the second highest peak. So when Jesus is hanging on the cross, He's overlooking the whole city of Jerusalem. I mean, it's. But the Lord calls it, and guess what? The Lord is on Zion looking down at Calvary, seeing the work that was done for the city. It's an interesting little thing. The work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for His device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of His temple. Now we know that it was the Medes and the Persians and the Medo-Persian Empire. But the Medes here at this particular time when he's saying this was just a village. It wasn't even a nation yet. It was just, you know, like, it was really nothing at the time. And so to make this pronouncement, they'd be like, oh, the Medes, yeah, what are they going to do? You know, it's kind of like, you know,
Taylor
Alan Park. Yeah, Alan Park's going to come and is going to conquer the world. Oh, really? Yeah. Serious? Yeah. After. But that would be kind of the same thing, you know. They're going to conquer the world, you know. But it was God that knew these things, that gave Jeremiah these words to speak. Hey, it's the Medes. The Persians. Now, Cyrus was a Persian. But if you go through Daniel, you'll find out that it was the Medes after that that took. That rose in that area. You see, once Cyrus took Babylon, he left the control to it to the Medes. Okay? And he went back to Persia. Okay? Because he was the king there. And as you start to see these things, once the Persians took over, everything started to spread out. So that when we finally get to Esther, we see that Xerxes, who was a Persian, you know, that's how those stories kind of blend together. Okay? And so there was the Persians and there was the Medes that Daniel dealt with. Remember Darius the Mede? Okay. They had their own little thing going on. And then Cyrus was back at Shushan, which was the capital of the Persian Empire. So let's see. Make the arrow bright. Okay, so the spirit of the kings of the Medes. So he's the one that rose them up. For His device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of the temple. Now, Babylon itself was, in fact, destroyed. This great city was destroyed physically. But the spirit of them moved. And you can trace their movements as you follow it west. You know, as it went from Babylon, it then went to Istanbul. And then from Istanbul it went to Rome, and then or to Greece, and then Greece to Rome, and then Rome to Great Britain, if you will, or the European areas, and then it went to the United States, and now it's shifting back to the Pacific coast, the Far East, into China. China now is rising in power. the United States, as you can see, is diminishing, you know. And you can trace it all through history, you know, where these things came from. And it's a fascinating study, but it's kind of hard to get information about it. But you can trace it back as you go through history and you see, okay, who was in power? Who had the major power? You know, Alexander the Great came. Where did the power shift to? Went to Greece, right? Macedonia, in that area. And then when the Romans took over, where did it go? It went to Rome, okay? And then when Rome fell apart, what happened? It kind of got dispersed through all of Europe. Mm-hmm. And then out of Europe came the United States. And out of the United States, kind of, well, it's kind of crumbling. It's falling apart, really, on its own. So, you know, I think it'll be absorbed into something else. And then the Far East will then, again, rise, okay? And then it will shift back to Babylon, not physical Babylon. That'll never be rebuilt again, but that general area, okay? Why does the beast go to Jerusalem is the big question, okay? And we'll probably end there tonight. We're at the end of the hour, but in my mind, and this is just my speculation, Jerusalem will become, or Israel will become, the focal point of the world. It will be the mm-hmm. last remaining world power. That's why the beast comes to Jerusalem to sit in the temple to proclaim himself to be God.
Oh.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's going to shift from place to place. You know, China, India, and then to it's right around the trade routes. So, and that's why I believe that's going to happen. And again, it's speculation on my part, but as I'm looking at these things and as I've studied where it is, you know, up to this point. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, where's the next shift? It's the Far East. And then the next shift from there will be, not setting any dates or anything like that, but, you know, I'm telling you what. One last thing, just to give you shivers. It was a monumental prophetic thing for Trump to move or to claim that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Man, that just I shiver still thinking about it, you know, because that's going to be the end point of all the things. It started there, okay? It didn't start there, but it went from Babylon. It went to when Solomon reigned. He was the most powerful king, okay? So it's just kind of to see all of these things, you know, flowing back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, as Zechariah says, will become a cup of trembling for the entire world. This little spit of land doesn't have any natural ports, doesn't have any natural resources of its own, and yet the whole world will go to war because of this little... Jerusalem is a cup of trembling for all nations, the Lord says. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the time of this fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we study your word and gain such application from it. I pray, Father, that the lessons that we have come away with tonight would not be wasted, that we would just observe to do all that your word requires, to love you, Lord, with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all the strength. And everything that your word requires will come from that one thing. Lord, our work to do is to love you. Help us, Lord, to do that one work. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.